You're going to allow the pre-existing retailers to continue to sell, it's not going to allow new people to go into the shop.
Okay.
The problem is that you don't create a thousand, you don't create the tobacco-free zone in this list, in this local law. You need to, that needs to be amended to create it, because there's in here it creates the license, and the only thing that references the tobacco-free zone is the designation, but it doesn't direct the department to create one. It has to be in the law in order for it to be effective.
What's this as defined on a map provided by the department?
That's the definition. And the question too is the definition, is it from the school, the center of the school itself, or is it from the edge of the property?
The edge of the property.
Well, then we should add that also, because that's not in here. And I've ran into this issue with DEC when we've had, discharging of firearms within 500 feet of a house. So in other discharges, actually we had what I worked on is also discharging one within 1,000 feet of a school. So we need to add that as to the edge of the school property. Because that actually creates a larger zone than if it's just the 1,000 feet from the school itself. Does that make sense to you, Carl?
No, yeah, because otherwise you can say from the counter to the school. It has to be from the outside of the perimeter of the property. Right?
But there's nothing in here that requires the department to create an actual zone.
Also, if...
But that's more by definition. You can't create something by definition. You have to require the department to create the actual zone.
If the... under the law, if the business does not apply or even granted that license to the adult and the department, are they no longer allowed to sell them back to Congress?
State law doesn't supersede that.
Your grandfather.
Okay. That's a good question.
I think state law supersedes county law. I don't think you can stop somebody from...
Go ahead. Currently under the state law, there are fines regarding tobacco sales. Do you have up to $25,000
in surcharge? I'm not taking it back to hear the health committee arguing against the...
We're not arguing against it, but there's a lot of questions that we're going to be asked, so we need to have the answers. Finally, just...
Well, $198,000.
Get something without reading it.
We think there's $198,000. Right? I also have maps to show you every retail establishment we've mapped out. From the property boundaries of the school, the business that are affected. This impacts 21 tobacco retailers in town. This law. And what it does is it creates this differentiation of women's zones. So it gives us the ability to increase the enforcement and to ensure the compliance in the businesses within 1,000 feet of the school, and also gives us a mechanism. To install or implement more aggressive training on how to properly market your cigarettes so you're not impacting safety.
I don't agree with that. And I'll tell you why, because the only thing is that they're not, because basically the only thing that this does is it creates a license. And if they're not compliant with a license, such as having it posted, or had applied for one, and if they have violated those two things, essentially, then you have the requirement for them to do education. But I don't really see much else in that, and other than just having a license and not having them in the tobacco-free zone, I don't see any impetus really for them to have education under this particular law. If that's really the case, I would say that you need to do more in...
We're not trying to pick on the businesses that sell tobacco. We're trying to make sure that they are mindful of how they market products to children.
Oh,
especially
absolutely. But that's not what you have in your license law. That's my problem, is that you're not achieving that by your license.
I would disagree. But also, we're also careful to realize that there's a full complement of federal and state law on the topic. We're trying to advance this issue in the confines of what we can do.
Right, with this local law, it works hand in hand with the federal and the state law. I mean, you're right, there are state laws specifically geared to Adolescent Tobacco Use Prevention Act, but what this does is something in this local rule law, as well as provisions of the state constitution, is that the county's just merely trying to license the sales activity. Not trying to do anything for advertising or anything to that effect.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that you're just basically saying under this law is that you're saying that you have to have a license and you have to have a permanent location if you sell tobacco. That's basically it. There's nothing underlying it. Like with other licenses, you have certain requirements in which you need to meet, and there's nothing here that says, because I was looking for that. I was like, what else is this trying to do other than saying you have to be licensed? And at first I thought this was a general, Mr. Cornell, but you know, looking to, I thought initially this was a revenue-generating initiative, and now that you're telling me that there isn't going to be any fee for this, then, okay, so then now it's basically having a license, and then I get that you want to make sure that you know who's out there. But other than that, you're not saying anything else other than what they need to do in order to maintain that license. Like, for example, you and I have to take 24 hours continuing for education in order to maintain a license. That's an educational component. You don't have anything in here other than just saying we want you to be licensed.
Well, the other thing it does do, though, is it limits after a year. It's going to no new licenses within the school zone. So you
that
we are setting
that,
we are achieving the goal of setting
but,
the path.
But as far as educational and otherwise, and actually controlling some of the advertising and some of the other practices you're talking about, that's not in here.
You can't control the advertising.
Right.
Well, you're talking about.
And also it,
that's something that's come out like that.
But with regard to the enforcement of the license.
Right.
It creates a different standard for businesses within the zone versus outside the zone. It has higher fines, it has more stringent training compliance.
Does that have anything to do, I'm sorry, with the way they display it? Like, that always annoyed me how they have it right there.
Yeah, right.
You are in a business, you aren't controlling the advertising in the school zone by limiting the number of retailers you can sell. But when you get into regulations like these, they have to be content neutral and they're limited to the manner and the time, place, and manner of what you're trying to regulate.
Yeah, that always bothered me how they allow that, you know, right there by the register.
I'm trying to remind you in the
zone.
I know you're in the zone, that would be the regulators.
And that's as you defined it, not as its current, I mean, as that you, as a definition. Who defined it at 20, that zone, Mr. Canal? I mean, per se, I mean, is it took it from the outside, like the parameter from the outside? I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, you know.
It could have done using a planning scanner of 1,000 feet from property line of the school to the retail.
So I see the definition of a school, but does that include administrative buildings? Like, let's say Crown Street. It's technically not a school, but it's right up there on
Crown Street.
There's
no kids in it.
No. Yeah. I saw you included BOCES. What about BOCES administration and involved?
It wouldn't
have been
there. It's
just
working with
students.
The question I have for the committee, I meant to add that for you, I did find a school where you found some kids who had
I mean, I like the idea of limiting it by distance because, I mean, 1,000 feet. There's 21 of these retailers that are close to schools. I'll give you an example. When I went to Kingston High School, there were plenty of, tobacco retailers around there, and I was, one of the partakers when I was young. So it was easy. So now at least it's, what it's trying to do is prevent, not only, prevent the unscrupulous retailers from selling it, but making it harder for the kids to get. They're in school most of the year, and they can't get it there. They have to get it on their own time somewhere else. So if the kid, and this one, a kid goes into a, after hours, it goes into a deli that's nearest, within 1,000 feet of a school, and what happens if a parent reports it? My kid bought this here. How is that enforced? Does the kid have to be caught in the act buying it? Or?
Certainly, we got a report. We basically don't understand the fee right now. We have an underage, we have a minor that goes in and has to report.
Right, yes.
So, I have some questions, Kent. So, in here I'm reading through it that if there's alleged violators that they have the option to be heard at an administrative hearing. So essentially, if the alleged violator declines their option to be heard in an administrative hearing, then they're automatically guilty?
Yes.
Okay, so...
That's our process right now.
Okay, so what is the administrative hearing? Who comprises the administrative hearing? Who pays for the process of the administrative hearings? And outside of that, the licensing process and the oversight and enforcement of this whole thing?
Close to the county health department.
Okay.
We currently have an administrative hearing officer process that we follow.
right now we didn't incorporate into our current procedures.
So then that would just be extra duties for them under the umbrella of their current salary?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And then what, and then for the light, the same with the licensing, enforcement, and oversight of this?
We believe that we'd be able to have the program with an additional, cost.
And then my questions to the lawyers in the room has to do with, so how is this, legislative Provenzano brought up about, state law superseding county law. Now, I can think off the top of my head, so there's, when you're talking about, quote-unquote, same usage type laws, like alcohol, you have certain counties in New York State, there's liberality, where counties, like Otsego County, for example, they have, the bars closed at, 1 and 2 o'clock different nights of the week. Whereas in other parts of the state, they close at 4 a.m. So how is this analogous to that? In a sense, you're talking about the regulation of, you're talking about adding an extra licensing procedure on top of the state license that's already required. So that's the reason why I'm just throwing out the analogy.
And you're right. And again, first of all, it's a function of public health law. The county can set a different max call time. They do vary from county to county. With regard to tobacco licensure, there are many municipalities in the state. New York City, some counties in the Finger Lakes.
How about Tennessee?
Have similar local licensing to each county.
Under home municipal rules, we have the ability as a county to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the county residents. So this would fall under that purview.
Right.
So that's why we have the ability to do this.
And that would be for alcohol, tobacco, and any other
correct. Mm-hmm. Which would be analogous to the example you cited in terms of bars closed at certain times that regulated the sale of alcohol.
Right.
This year's regulated sale.
I also think that there's a provision in the ABC law that allows for that, so that counts as a county.
Just out of curiosity, what other, besides alcohol and tobacco, what other?
Oh my God, you think I'm a walking encyclopedia?
Well,
Douglas County has a permit for transit, so the county has.
Thanks for the edification. I appreciate it.
So is there some? Oh, we can't do that. You said that's right. You already answered that.
We did have a suggested amendment. No, it's yellow on you. Everybody has yellow. And this, the change that we were suggesting in section 4 of the tobacco retail license, section 4B, take out the language that allows the transfer of a license from a business owner to another individual if they sell the business. I
understand you can do that with a liquor license. The goal is to prevent someone from coming in under the free zone. The goal is to make everybody who wants to sell tobacco get a license.
Well, let me ask
you this question. How does that apply to a pre-existing vendor that's in the tobacco free zone? Are you gonna, because they're a new applicant, they're not going to be able to?
No.
Okay.
So there's a one-year... No. This would just be if you currently have a license in a tobacco free school zone or anywhere, you sell the business to somebody, that person who you sell it to successful fine.
Right, but I'm just saying though that you're not gonna preclude somebody who's a new applicant in a current pre existing site that sells tobacco from selling that site and that new person being able to continue to sell tobacco in the zone.
A new owner would not be able to get a license.
Oh, God. That's a taking. That you might have a problem with, because that's a taking.
That's a what?
A taking.
A taking.
We're grandfathering in licenses.
Grandfathering pre-existing businesses.
Correct. Yeah.
But the thing is that you're going to be precluding that. That's going to be,
I'm mistaken. I'm thinking about it. I'm sorry to your question.
Well, my concern is that, the 21 vendors that are currently there, some of them have probably been there forever. They're going to have, if the new owner cannot continue to sell tobacco in that particular site, you may be precluding it, giving them a real hard time from being able to sell their business because they're not going to be generating income I would suggest that you may continue allowing that, you know, have pre-existing sites to continue and not, you know, as opposed to saying, all right, we have 21 vendors already, we have 21 permitted sites already, that's it, we're not going to allow anymore. It's sort of like, you know, how we have currently, for example, just like the big billboards, you remember how big billboards are, people were trying to get rid of them, those pre-existing ones, they can stay, but you can't put up any new ones, you can replace the ones that are currently existing. You may want to do something like that because you're going to be giving those people who are currently in existence a hard time. I mean, we're having a hard time already in this town, and we don't need to make it harder for our current businesses.
So what it does, it does allow renewed tobacco retail licenses for people in a designated tobacco-free school zone who are grandfathered in. But I think what Erica is saying is perhaps we need to be more specific about also, so those locations that are grandfathered in, that are currently in a school zone, grandfathering in potential purchases.
You can grandfather in the site.
The site.
You can have a list. You may want to amend it, if I may, forgive me, but I'm just talking about this is fully legal, this is not anything to do with policy, but you may want to, for purposes, have the site, those current sites, so that they're grandfathered in, so that those people don't have to worry about, because that would be the first thing I'd be saying, is under this law, you know, when my client is buying this mom and pop, you know, deli that sells cigarettes, you know, that's a portion, and it's a draw, because you were talking about that before.
Yeah, absolutely. Not everybody goes into an establishment just to buy cigarettes. Like, I guess that our tobacco products tend to be their motivating factor to go there, but often they leave with bread and milk and other products, which could, in reality, have an effect on their sales overall, and it's not just America.
So we wouldn't ever be changing the number of establishments within a school zone once that year is up.
But they would have to reapply for a license.
They would allow them to reapply, but they would still have to reapply.
Right.
It would be able
to. Because the new owner, right. if Legislator Provenzano bought my mom and pop deli, she just will be able to have the ability to sell.
To apply. Because what we don't want to do is say you get it automatically.
Right.
What if that person has a horrible history in learning to minders or whatever, other violations of state and federal laws. And so the goal with that change was simply to make sure that everyone who is selling in a school day zone or not, and anyone who may sell in the future, apply and go through the process.
Mm-hmm. The legal age is 21, is that right, or is it 18? Oh, it's 18 for tobacco, 21 for alcohol?
Yep.
So I'm starting to think about this more, like how effective can this be if we're going to allow the 21 retailers to remain where they are? The kids are not going to be, they're not going to be 18 when they graduate, they're still underage, so that's state law that prevents them from buying cigarettes. They can walk into the store and see the cigarettes anytime they want. We can't say anything about the advertising. So how effective is this law going to be? I'm just bringing that up.
I'd
like to see advertising, you know, no advertising around here.
Yeah,
we can't.
I think part of the process, I think that...
it just makes it harder, that's all.
Right. I mean, it's just awareness term. Of it, definitely. You know, now they're all aware of it, but what does that mean to the kid? Nothing. They can't buy it anyway, legally.
We all know that.
Yeah.
Kids want to do something bad, they're going to do it.
Right. And this is a heightened...
It's the exact cigarette.
I understand that.
I think it was named, yeah.
What concerns me a little bit is the redundancy of it. If we currently have policies that are already in place to deter and fine establishments that continue to sell to minors, wouldn't it make more sense to enforce the current laws?
We only need to say, well, gives us the ability to find somebody. It doesn't give us an ability to take any further action.
But I guess
what we're trying to do is
violation and enforcement.
To really, you know, to train and to give them best practices to stop it from happening.
Well, what I had thought under the state law, yeah, it could be fined up to $2,500, a surcharge of $50 for each violation, and a loss of your certificate or registration to sell tobacco and herbal cigarettes. And that includes
also, you know, a suspension of your lottery license and so forth under the New York State law. So it kind of, there is accountability there that the state would hold our local retailers to, you know, without having to, you know, add additional regulations, laws, and so forth. And, you know, in my opinion, you know, put a burden on our small businesses that are already struggling. And will continue to. Those are my concerns.
So I see two clear intents out of this legislation is that obviously you want to add an extra layer of oversight on the county level so that businesses and these 21 businesses that are down here are essentially required to, yeah, 21 out of the 198 are required to post the warnings. And if they don't post the warnings adequately, then they'll lose this extra layer of license. And then, obviously, it's something that it makes Ulster County look like, you know, we're conscious about the health of children and our residents. And then, sort of changing gears, when you're talking that there's in Section 11, there's a severability clause. Mm-hmm. So essentially, it seems like the county is addressing the fact in Section 11 that this there might be some controversy, like what council is bringing up about. Essentially, this Section 11 in severability states that if this entire law, once it were passed, if it were to be passed, if it were challenged in court, that if there's any portion of the law that's found to be unconstitutional or unenforceable because it's not essentially good law, if it's found that way judicially, then the remainder of the law still remains intact. But I mean, I guess this is standard procedure, but it almost illuminates the issue that this is something that's, you know, where it's a little bit on the dicey side, in the sense that, you know, you've got to make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted before we try and pass this.
Mr. Allen, I mean, this is a process, and again, you know, I believe that the state of New York has really failed when it comes to protecting children from the advertising of big tobacco in retail stores.
This is that's true.
And we're pushing that forward. This is done with the full support of the Tobacco Free Action Coalition of Ulster and Dutchess County. This is a recommended policy that they're bringing to counties across the state just for that reason, to push the envelope and to help move state policy forward in this area.
Well, just the fact that another pair of eyes looking at them, you know, might make them a little more cautious of who they sell tobacco to. Because right now, you know, most of these little places, they're not owned like they were years ago by the fine girl living down the street. So, you know, to make a couple extra bucks, you know. So this just puts another set of eyes watching over them.
Okay, so, but back to my point is that if you can have all the laws you want, but if nobody's going to follow through and enforce the laws, then I'll give our borders. We've had plenty of laws that, you know, are supposed to deter people crossing our borders illegally without proper documentation, but they come across in record numbers over here because nobody's enforcing the law.
I know, but that's...
Well, we didn't...
This here, they have ways of going in there to see whether they're really compliant or not. And I read it all the time. We read it all the time where they've either, you know, sold cigarettes to underage or liquor. We read it all. They're caught all the time, and they're fined all the time.
We've got to
hit them enough times, and it might make a difference. So it would save a couple kids from not being able to go in on their lunch, you know, on the way to school when their mother isn't watching or...
So, but let me ask you this question, too, is that here you have this language that says the Department of Children's in accordance with the criteria, written criteria.
Where are you?
I'm sorry. It's Section 5.
D8, which says, these are all the reasons why you can't issue a license. Basically, again, this is why I'm saying that I understand the underlying purpose, which from just a regular taxpayer's point is laudable, but I'm looking for the substance here. And my concern is that, you haven't paid, there's a fee, you don't have, the New York State Department Tax and Finance certificate. You get into 8 where this says that the applicant is not otherwise fit. So can you give me, Ms. Keys, what enumerate or the undertaker, I always forget that last name, the undertaker, what, Mr. Cadell, what would be something that would make a person unfit to get our license? And then if they're what would that be?
I think that number 8 is...
They serve plastic bags and they don't have paper?
I think it would be perhaps a combination of all the prior factors. I mean, if they... I think the Department of Health is also obviously in a better position to determine that. If the individual applicant is known to the Department of Health for other violations, perhaps.
So a legislator have to go back to their... go back to the constituents and kind of explain this, because you actually have, I'm thinking of the stewards right across from the diner. You have one of the ones that fall in the
thousand feet zone. Probably would be a thousand feet.
It's a thousand feet. So, that's the question, is if they want to make sure that they can express why they wouldn't be fit to get one of these licenses.
Well, I think that gives the department the ability to develop regulations.
Right, that has to.
In the future, over time, if new state or federal laws are passed, or if they see trends as a result of enforcing this law, that clause just gives the department the ability to be flexible in evaluating applications. Another thing, I just wanted to quickly go back to enforcement. We already do sting. So the enforcement of this would be, when they do a sting, do they have their license? It's not like it's going to add an entirely different level of enforcement in terms of trying to find out if people are abiding by this. It requires them to show their license. Is there a license? If not, then they get to ask questions. And the other thing, the other thing that it accomplishes is Ulster County being able to take control of their school zones and what happens in those school zones by limiting the number of vendors. We have a year's time for people to, if somebody was thinking of moving a business into one of these areas, we're not saying it happens tomorrow. So you have a year's time. But after that year, what it accomplishes is Ulster County signs saying,
There's the Stewart's Come On Farms and the Dollar General.
One of those
qualifies?
No, because it's good enough out here.
Smitty's. These, that's all the active operations. Okay. Right. Hey, I drive by Port Huron's Bosie's, and I see kids on the street smoking cigarettes, too. They walk right off the side, they're on the sidewalk, they're off the property, and they're all smoking cigarettes during the day. And at night,
It might be across 3 hours driving this year,
and then across 1,000 feet.
Probably more.
How much?
Yeah.
Can we talk about number 8 again? I'm a little focused with it. Okay. Me reading this seems to say that once we pass the law, that the department can determine, that the department could establish further the purposes of this local law. I don't get the language. Additional regulations?
The ability to establish additional regulations to, in accordance with the report, to carry out,
well, because this goes to criteria as to what makes a retailer viable or not viable, or I'm sorry, I'm not using the right term, but that needs to, you have to meet the criteria in order to get licensed. And that, the reason why I just make language makes me nervous is when I work at DEC, we said we would never get any law that had something like this in here. They would never give us that kind of discretion. So
then
Mr. Cannell would know that. The Science Act was very good at killing DEC bills.
Well, it is the health department, and we know what the purpose of the health department is, especially with kids, so I don't think that they're going to come up with anything that's... No, they could come up with something that says, no cigarettes, you can't advertise, hide them in the bathroom, that would be wonderful. But if the state doesn't even allow that, I mean, how serious are they about presenting smoking, for God's sake?
So, there's going to be some people from the Department of Health at the public hearing on this?
Yes, and also from the Tobacco-Free
School. So what's the public hearing is going to be at the next legislative meeting, right?
Is that correct?
Jumping back to what we're actually voting
no,
on.
No, not until November 18th.
Okay, so that's like, so we're talking about like 5-6 weeks away for an opportunity for some, you know, amendments to this and some additions to make it have more nuance and
yeah,
more specificity for it.
Right.
So, and then it's going to be like there would be, obviously the Department of Health officials would be on the same page with all this. How many people would be expected to be hearing from at that public hearing from the Department of Health?
I think a couple.
Like I said, that's fine. Then we'll have more information and we can further the discussion.
If you set a public hearing and you make drastic changes to the local law,
you're going to have another public hearing.
I know sometimes I have stupid questions, but so did the county attorney review this local law?
Yes, and
because I know she's always very, you know, skeptical on things. She's always looking at, you know, what the county's liabilities are.
There's a lot of work with the Board of Health and the Health Department and the county attorney for these issues.
And also the Center for Public Health and Tobacco Policy. I worked with an attorney there with, you know, with this.
And this stuff is done in other counties.
One of the things I just want to go back to is the local law that states that there's no smoking on county property. That hasn't been enforced too well.
Really?
Yeah. I'm down in the parking lot over here and I see legislators smoking in between the church and the parking lot. I see social services, you know, people smoking in the parking lot. I think one ticket's been issued to one person since that local law's been enacted.
Usually at night, isn't that after a meeting?
I'm just saying.
I know who they are. I think we should
do something with teeth that, you know, we can actually prevent, but this law is trying to prevent.
I think we should report them.
The John Corn question.
Let me first add, I feel somewhat uneasy to move forward at this point without having addressed all the concerns that we've stated. And in the spirit of saving us all some time, being that if there are going to be changes after the public hearing, it's going to have to come back to committee, and we're going to have to set another public hearing.
What changes are you talking about?
What changes are clarification? I know that
they have had mentioned that there's going to
be. We have some minor changes, or nothing major substance other than consent changes.
Do you know what the major
changes? And as far as addressing the potential legal aspects that Chris had thrown up, and I know that Erica showed some concerns.
There's nothing in here that requires the department to create a map and the process for doing that and all of that. That needs to be addressed. As long as you're notified about the map and so on and so forth.
If you have something now that you're not comfortable with, why don't we talk about it? And we can make some amendments.
I already have for 40 minutes.
Huh?
I'm waiting.
Well, but I don't know what specific changes he's talking about. I know we had discussions.
My opinion is the purpose of a public hearing is let the public set this out also. And I think that's... But the retailers may. Okay, they may come out. So like we had the gasoline industry, whatever, food market people come out. I'd like to give them a chance to see what it's all about and to listen to them. I mean, once we pass this committee, it goes to the legislature for a public hearing. The local law keeps proceeding. It doesn't go through any other committee.
Right.
The local law, it gets pushed either tonight. Here.
Yeah, it has to go all the way.
Right.
Then it comes to the way from the
I'd vote for the public hearing because I'm not an expert on this, so I mean, as you know, I'd like to see this work. I don't know. Right, but I mean, we're going to
through
the public hearing.
And there's going to be other council members that are going to hear this
changes.
At the public hearing. Z is going to be there, right? Somebody council
should be asked to go to the laws and rules. There's no question or answers to the public hearing.
Tracy and the undertaker are her representatives.
Okay.
Well, I'm all for it, too.
We've already moved it. Any questions, and I've got a vote.
Yes.
I've
got a vote on laws and
rules. For me personally, I think that there's still something that should have to be addressed prior to it going, but. That said, being that it has to go to laws and rules, and where else does it have to?
Just laws and rules.
Just laws and rules.
And then what do you mean for,
it goes the way the means for the money for the advertisement.
Well, if there's three, yes, I'm going to be in those. And, so, that's,
right.
I vote aye.
Yeah, we are as well.
Okay. So, all right. We'll move on.
Now we're going to pack my cot. We're real busy tonight.
Okay. Resolution 371. Establishing the Ulster County Coalition against narcotics. The resolution is to establish a 15-member coalition to identify ways to prevent abuse, health individuals abusing narcotics, and identify ways in which to protect the public from 48 drug abuse in Ulster County.
I know. I'll move for discussion.
Okay.
Second.
Call your response on this.
Yes.
Talk about this.
I think that there's a need. The resolution, a lot of the whereas is kind of states the facts about
opiate abuse, whether it be prescription drug abuse or heroin abuse. And I think that what this committee would be charged with is getting proper information out to health officials, to EMS, police, fire departments, and also to investigate ways to offer aid in the use of and dispensing of this Naloxone, is that how I'm pronouncing it right? Narcan, this is the antidote for Narcan heroin. And I think it's going to be eye-opening, like the Ulster County Public Safety Advisory Committee, because the members who are going to comprise this committee are going to be members in law enforcement, in drug addiction counseling, mental health, health department, general public, maybe someone who's lost a child to heroin overdose. And I think it's an important health issue in Ulster County. I think that the figures will state that it's at an alarming rate, the climb of heroin overdoses in the county.
So, I know we do read a lot about it, but the first question that comes to my mind is, do we don't have this authority to demand that? I mean, can we get people, you know, EMS, medical staff? Members of the Drug Abuse Treatment Committee, don't we have a number of those committees? What are they doing?
No, I mean, these would be people
that don't have prevention connection? Isn't that their job?
Ulster Prevention Council?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing Ulster Prevention Council, they work with OASIS. They get their funding from OASIS. The thrust of their work in the past few years has been on prescription drug abuse. They did create a prescription drug task force. They don't have a opiate heroin task force created or anything. So I think this fills a need. And I think we do have the authority to...
Does this compete with the committee formed by the chairman of the legislature?
No, actually this would be the committee. The committee that was formed by the chairman is not an official committee. This is making that committee official.
Oh, so we already have a committee?
Yes. We have a quasi-committee that meets...
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was a think tank.
The chairman doesn't have the authority to study the former committee?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, well, he's going to be a sponsor of this also. He just didn't get his name on there in time.
Wait a minute. I don't understand that. The chairman appointed a committee?
No. This was just a think tank.
Who created it?
Oh, Narcan.
Well, you can.
You can. The guy that came up with us, and Luke Klein is the chairman of it.
Right.
There's several legislators on that. There's members of the community. And,
so this is just making that official? It already is.
And the reason why is because, I think that it should be a proper committee so that we could use legislative counsel if we need to, and not that we ever would probably expend any, monies, but in case any of the volunteers had to expend some personal money, that they could get reimbursed. And just to give it a validity, because
Do you have that in here?
It doesn't really have the authority with the legislature. It would just be...
You don't have it in here, though, that they'll...
Yeah, within 60 days...
It says, shall serve without compensation,
right,
other than for actual necessary expenses.
I mean, there are no expenses, but... We'd like to draw from attorneys, counsel, and we don't have that right now.
Mm-hmm.
To make it official so that the public, it'll be a public meeting, and it'll be on a legislative calendar.
Well, but this makes it sound like we're creating this coalition of 15 members, and they already exist.
No.
So can't I just say something that you're acknowledging that there is a committee appointed, and I don't understand it.
Well, I think it's important to have the backing of the legislature, because we're going to be using the legislative...
But do we have a choice as to who the members are? I mean, the members are already been appointed.
They're appointed by the chairman. We don't have... This isn't an official committee. This has been a think tank.
So are you going to keep the same members?
We may. We may not, because every month different members have come.
How many members do you have now?
I'd say we have close to 15. I mean, I've got a list of people who are interested or who have contributed to just the talk, the discussions. I've seen people that have just come once and never come again. You know, so I think that's also part of this resolution, so that we want to solidify this committee so that we have 15 members and we're going to produce a study to present to the legislature.
So if you have less than 15 members,
then up to 15 members.
Shall consist of 15.
So consist of, okay, 15 members, yes.
And how long have they been in existence? For a year?
No. I think during John's acceptance speech, I think he mentioned that this was a problem and he wanted to address it. And I mentioned to him that, you know, if he was going to form a committee, that I would like to be on it, or, you know, at least be apprised of it. I was invited to a meeting, and Lou Klein was invited, members of the EMS community, I believe district attorney was there, the sheriff was there, and they were all interested in serving on a committee that does exactly what this resolution says.
But they have been meeting. Have they accomplished anything?
This is probably the first accomplishment of the committee. Now, we have been working with Ulcer Prevention Council, Cheryl DiPaolo. She's been coming to the meetings. So she had prepared grants for Ellenville High School, and I think in the past for Onteora. And this one specific grant would give grant money to produce public service announcements on heroin abuse. And the reason why we named it the Ulster County Coalition Against Narcotics is because one of the requirements of the grant application is that there be some kind of coalition formed. And if you don't have a coalition, you're not going to qualify for the grant money. So they have been having meetings with SUNY New Paltz and their media department. But we're waiting for Cheryl to apply.
My understanding is she shared the opportunity with the committee, but the Prevention Council was not actually writing or sponsoring the grant.
Yeah, I don't know, because I haven't been to every meeting, and they kind of broke off into a little sub meeting, so I don't know what that. And the other part of this is that we don't have minutes. I mean, that's why we need a committee formed. We need a committee formed, so we have minutes.
Didn't Mary chair a committee?
Yes,
for
the Public
over
Safety Advisory Committee.
And that specifically was, I remember, Terry Bernard when she was chair. It was specifically had to do with drugs and...
I think it had more to do with
public safety.
Public safety and potential violence.
It came about after the school shootings in Connecticut. I mean, there's always been a drug connection between crimes, mental health issues. So we looked at all those avenues. We looked at holistic health. We looked at law enforcement, also Prevention Council. They all came in. That committee basically was like a testimony from professionals. And from their testimonies and from our deliberations, we came up with a report on, not to say best practices, but a report of recommendations.
So one of my predecessors in former Sauberties legislator, Walter Fry, I know was very instrumental in anti-drug policy through the Healthcare Committee when he was
chairman of it, and I think, you know, this is definitely in the spirit of the work that that Legislator Fry used to do, and I think that, you know, there's serious problem in Ulster County and elsewhere in this country, different pockets where there's a lot of prevalence of, you know, hardcore drug usage, high school students, college students. You know, I know that this is something that affects, you know, Saugerties High School, Ulster Community College, City New Paltz, and, you know,
all over the country.
I mean, if a program, you know, if a committee like this can help come up with policies and, you know, somehow education programs, you know, treatment programs that can prevent one person from dying or prevent, help people get off of, you know, opiate-based addictions, then this is a good thing. I think it's a no-brainer.
Granted, this is not going to be some magic wand that the committee is going to solve the narcotics problem in Ulster County.
Yeah.
But if you don't have an organized discussion about it, then it's only going to be a discussion.
So this is in existence. So in 6 months, they need to submit a written report.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. After the adoption of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. If you don't mind, I would like to have my name as
all legislators, but for the legislation.
That's okay.
I'll do.
Okay.
Yeah. Or verify because I can't tell them.
All right.
I think it's a good thing. I mean, you know,
absolutely.
How many times have we heard that there was an order of protection, you know, against someone, and even though there was an order of protection against them, they were murdered or they were battered or whatever, and they had no place to go. You can't stay in your home.
No, I just had a case this past week. It doesn't matter how old you get either.
Have you got a discussion?
It's for men, too. It's not just violence against women. It's domestic violence.
Right.
It all comes in all forms.
Yeah.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Okay. Resolution 376 approving the execution of contract $167. This for the legal process subpoena service for the county's support collection unit and the Department of Social Service legal unit.
I'm sorry.
So I don't have the
email. I'm moving.
Second.
All right. Is this the same company from last month?
No. No.
It isn't. So now it's a new company.
Okay.
What's the history?
There's no money with the bid. I'm just kidding.
This was last bid in 2011. So it's a professional service. We don't have to bid. We choose to bid from the competitive field. We last bid in 2011. So recall it was a two-year contract and 2 one-year options to renew. I'm sure Eric will correct me if I got it wrong. And we have recommended to the legislature that they take the last option in a contract. It moves through the health committee, and on the floor is a motion to send it back to the desired
candidate. That would be Mr. Allen's motion.
Thank you, Mr. Allen, for that. We put our bid. We did a straight bid. We do have a lot of discretion with this. Generally, we do an RFP, but we did the first thing director decided to do a straight bid, and based on the numbers that we're recommending this contract is. It's one of those things where you do your analysis, the savings maybe $2,000. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very large difference in margin. I know that several legislators had heard from a constituent who was in this business. I'll let everyone know that he did not bid. Mm-hmm. So the fact he did not bid on this package at all. This is a new operation. I don't know how we'll do. We have developed a relationship with the former firm where. Under the contract, you can charge for when you go to serve somebody, they're not necessarily there every time. You know what I mean?
I know all about
it's
that.
A game.
So that's why I'm saying about $2,000 because that's the problem is that our previous contractors they only billed us once, but they had to go back.
Well, that's how they're supposed to bill, yeah.
Right.
They're not supposed to bill you every time they show up.
This vendor they bill us and they have to go back a third time. So again, any savings that I'm seeing here could evaporate pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Again, just on the straight bid, they made the lowest bid for the amount.
Well, I don't see any amount. Mm-hmm.
That's right. There isn't any direct listener for Wisana. There's no not to exceed amount, which I called Susie about.
Yes, because I assume that there was.
No, there isn't. And I called Susie to find out what the scoop was with that.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
So I really, council for the Collegian Youth Committee, I would say that you can't vote on it because we don't have you need a dollar or not as to, and you can always increase it if there needs to be more. Yeah. They've been doing a great job, I have to say. You know,
I know
well, so just tell us, they have to give us an amount and then
they have to be included at the same price. But I did call Susie, so I don't know what you want to do, but. We don't know how much you know, and you really can't vet it.
Right, well, I agree. We can't amend a contract on that.
We can. You can pass if I may, we could pass this contingent.
This is a little bit of ways and means as well, too. I can need permission for ways and means.
We could. Could you pass this contingent?
I believe you spent about $72,000 a year.
I'm trying to get something passed here. I'll try again, 3 times. I'll make a motion. We pass it contingent upon getting the figures by the office.
But if we don't get the figures, we'd have to meet again.
Right.
Okay. We'd have to have a special meeting. 5 days advance notice to vote no on it.
Well, I would imagine we get the figures, otherwise nobody can vote for it.
Okay.
We've got to
have
something.
We have the figures for ways and means, but I'm just asking what you're using. I don't have no idea why that.
Does it have to go through us, too?
No, well,
not if we pass the next continuum, I'm getting the figures.
The only point is just helpful.
Getting the numbers.
It's really a ways and means, decision.
Mm.
I'll call the question.
Second on the motion.
Second.
Yes.
Yes.
No contingencies.
Just no. If they won't pass it, it's
going to
have to all
three.
I mean, I vote no contingencies. What's the contingency?
We just voted on contingent on us getting the papers, Carl. You just voted yes.
Susie all the time. So.
All right. Okay. We'll get them. I'm sure we get them. I haven't called into Susie. She's aware of it. She's gonna. Somebody's just gonna reach out the program to find out what the Nazi scene is. And if you have to appreciate this, you guys remain things all the time. You just got an amendment right now through amended contract that you just.
I'm just
saying,
alive.
Guys, 70,000.
Chris, were you with the dentist?
No, I didn't have the money.
I had a full-on conversation with a couple of the funeral directors, and to try to put it as simply as I can, there was a difference in the reimbursement for whether it was a full body burial or a full service cremation. They paid less for full service cremation. Well, they're actually they're both the same service. So I did the resolution to bring that they both be paid the exact amount, whether it's a full body with service or a cremation with service. And a direct cremation would just be if it just goes right to the crematory.
Sure.
And that would be a little bit less. So that's basically what it is. It's no. I think they both should be the same. They do. And, you know, it's respectful.
Yeah. I agree. Now, the count, oh, I'm just getting there, but, so the county pays for the burial of the
indigent
veteran? Okay. And what is the cost?
$3,100.
Wow.
I think in the thing it says $3,400.
Yeah.
I think it means
it's paid at $3,400. Yeah, I don't have enough money, but I thought it was $25 for direct. And maybe
30. What is the number? Do you know the number?
Yeah, I think it's probably
9. I thought it would be here, and I forgot about it.
Yeah. What's up? This is a new resolution. Well, is there any other discussion? Oh, wait. We have to wait for that.
And the reason you didn't want to make them all at once because the funeral director is, no, really, this is how sincere they are about doing this. He says, no, because then you might have some funeral directors just do them all direct.
Yeah.
And you don't want that, is it?
Yeah.
They can provide a service.
Do we have a preferred list, or we just spread it out between the directors?
What will happen is a family will approach a funeral director.
Yeah. And then they do the application.
Downloads it and puts it in the
motor. Can you give me the
amendment?
Yeah, there's an under, there's a, an amendment.
Oh, to the
policy. To the
that's, yeah, there's
a amendment.
Let's play the program.
It should have been to both of us.
Yeah, okay.
We
see this commercial on TV that they're selling some burial insurance, and they say the government only gives you $250.
Yeah,
they do. The federal.
Sure, they do. Yeah. So, can you imagine what is this? That, how terrible is that?
It's a death benefit.
That doesn't even pay for the little cards they give it.
No. Flowers.
With the prayer on it.
So do we have a specific plot in the cemetery that the veterans get buried in?
There's a tax under 369. It has supporting It shows what
so that, that includes supply.
Yeah, but the people that are people aren't necessarily just buried at the Veterans Cemetery. They can be buried.
Right.
Yep, that's it.
But part of whatever we reimburse the funeral director for is also for the plot. Is they going to bury them?
Maybe they have programs for the veterans. I don't know. Yeah, it should.
Is there any other discussion?
What was it? What was the amount? Well, it's not to exceed $3,100 for a full body burial or cremation with services of an adult. $2,500 for cremation without services or an adult, or full body burial or cremation services of a child under 7, and $2,000 for cremation without services for a child under 7. That's what we're amending it to be.
And this is just for the 20 to 30 indigent burials a year is what we do. About 2/3 of those are cremations. And also, too, when you review the budget, you'll see that we put some money in the budget to improve the appearance of the cemetery and the cult. You know, over time, it's gotten along even. It's not the standard, so I think any what you know from the cemetery. So it includes some funds to make, you know, to re-side it, do some straightening of the stones and like make it a pristine environment for that cemetery. You'll see that during your review of the budget.
Okay. All
there?
All
right.
All right. All right. So good. I'll get you the next seat. I don't know what happened. There you go. Thank you. First.
Very good. I'm here too.
No, it's 36 this morning.
Who?
My director of contact.
Is what?
It's emergency 1-4-7. That's called pocket zero.
Emergency one? You could go there and get one. Let me see. That's funny.
You get director of contact?
Yeah, I am late. I usually want to send it to me. All right. Can you just, it's got fall on dates, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I don't know. October 23rd.
You've got better chances of getting Ebola than you do of getting the flu this year.
Oh, my God, don't say that.